We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I gotta be honest with you. I know we will get tweets and texts about, hey, where's the carpaccio song? We love the... I love that open. I just, every time we play that open, I laugh. I think it's hilarious.
A Twitter follower, friend, former radio guy named Harry sent that to me, and I sent that to
Brayton.
So I have to give him credit, so thank you.
We got a Capaccio in studio.
I have people say to me all the time, like, oh, how come they don't play the song all the time? It's the song. In fact.
So, is it your ringtone?
I will tell you.
You want actually, me to call you?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I could say it because he is one of our sponsors.
I
hope he doesn't mind. One of our sponsors, Frank Latempio, texted me that when you said my name that I'm coming up, his daughter started singing the song.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Frank, there you go.
Wow.
Say hi to your daughter.
Oh,
so
my.
There you go. So people do that all the time.
When you meet people in public, do they actually sing
the
song? Oh, yeah,
all the time.
Like,
listen,
I don't
even meet
them.
You walk
into a bar with your wife and all of a sudden, Sal, Capaccio, like Norm and Cheers? Is that like what you get?
But
like,
you think I'm kidding when I say yes, that does happen. Like, No,
I'm not because I...
It happens when I walk in the corridor
actually,
at KeyBank Center for Sabres games.
I believe it.
Okay? And then my son looks and goes, that's my dad.
Sal, Capaccio. It's catchy.
It does.
It's catchy, but I like that open better. All right, we have a lot to get to. Thanks for coming in studio.
You're welcome.
Sal's sticking around for the next hour and a half, then we're going to kick
refreshed.
His butt out. Yeah.
I try to unplug on Tuesdays. There was a lot that happened yesterday, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the stuff that was going on with Josh. So, you know, obviously I stayed on top of it. But I try to take a step back just to refresh my batteries every Tuesday so I can get ready to go because Wednesday begins a longer end of the week.
You know what I did instead?
What?
Because, you know, the Bills' offense is just life-sucking right now. I actually started thinking about the defense yesterday. I thought, you know what I'm going to sit down and do? I'm going to figure out why the defense is better, where it's better. I'm going to look at some stats. Wow, look at the run defense. Look at the sacks. Boy, these are really good numbers. And honestly, it cheered me up. So I decided to talk about what the Bills are doing well right
now.
And
we should talk about the defense. Of course, it's not the story of the team right now, but it's certainly a story. And I think the big story with the defense, and we'll get to Josh Allen in a second, but the big story with the defense is how in the heck did they get from where they were after six quarters to where they get to now? Because quite frankly, I was expecting a good defense. I was expecting them to be maybe not at this level consistently the last 4 weeks they've been, but I was expecting a top 10 defense and a team that probably would give them a chance to win more often than not.
Agreed.
And that's why I asked, and you brought it up last segment, both Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, can you point to anything tangible? Now, they're not going to tell you the secret to the sauce. They're not going to say, yeah, we were playing cover one and now we play cover two or whatever it is, right? They're not going to do that. But I did find it interesting.
But Frazier said something to your question about, if I could go back, I know what we did wrong in the first
game. He said, I do know what
we
did. And and now it got me thinking, do I need to go back and look at all 22 and kind of compare like screenshots and things like that?
Yeah. He didn't say what it was, right? But he said, I know exactly what I would change in those first two games.
And I don't know exactly what it is. I haven't gone back and compared. I do wonder if they're just playing a different schematic, coverage, something like that.
Yep.
I do know, if I remember right, going back to that Chargers game, they started to do a little bit more stunting up front. Maybe they did some more disguising instead of some basic stuff.
That's been very successful of late.
Yeah, and it helps when you have Tre'Davious White that can kind of pretty much shut down the other team's best receiver. So give kudos to the defense. They're certainly giving the offense a chance to win every week.
Sal is here, brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices across the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. If you have a question, if you have an opinion to share on the Bills, 803-0550. If you're on hold, hang on. We are going to get to calls, but we do need to talk about quarterbacks. And let's start with Josh Allen. And if the multiple reports yesterday are true, that's good news compared to where this thing could have gone if it was structural damage and like people are talking about maybe Tommy John surgery and it could be out for a year or whatever. If it's two or three games and there's no surgery, that is, relatively speaking, good news for Josh Allen.
Yeah. So I'm not a doctor, but sometimes I like to play one on the radio.
Are you sure you're not Dr. Capaccio?
No, I wish. My brother is, even though he's a doctorate. He has a doctorate. But
there you go. So you are a doctor by extension.
I guess that would make sense. I did ask some people who I know, friends of mine who are in sports medicine, sports doctors, things like that, about this injury and said, if this is the case, I don't know, but if this is the case, you know, tell me a little bit about a UCL, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And in case you don't know, the UCL is located obviously in the elbow. It's on the pinky side. It's on the pinky
outside.
So if, yeah, on the outside.
So you got hit, like the helmet.
Correct.
Hit him
on
the outside.
So let's say if you're talking about a knee, it'd be where the PCL is, obviously. Okay. You got A and M and P, right? Mm-hmm. So the UCL is on the pinky side. It's on the outside of the elbow. And the way it was explained to me is, yes, this is a type of injury that if a pitcher gets it because of the arm rotation, you're looking at an entire year out. Mm-hmm. Totally different with a quarterback. It's very, very rare that a quarterback would have to have Tommy John surgery and be out that long because of this type of injury. However, if there is a tear, you are looking at a longer, obvious recovery time. You could have surgery, and if that's the case. So when I saw these reports about he could miss all of next year, after what was being told to me from people I know that understand these things, I didn't really think much about it.
You should have called me because I was freaking out.
Okay.
When I'm seeing this like Tommy John, 2020, and I'm like, oh God, no.
No, I mean, of course that is worst case scenario. It's very rare it would happen. But from the way it was explained to me, generally in these types of situations, you're looking at least a few weeks out, and then you got to rehab too. It's not like, I mean, you're not doing anything. So if you do recover, you got to rehab as well, and you got to get that strength back. Josh is a young guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to attack rehab whenever he has to, whatever that rehab is. So I don't know how long he'll be out. We don't know that. Maybe Sean McDermott will tell us. Mm-hmm. But it certainly is not the type of thing that usually happens to a pitcher. And we started going down that road yesterday, which seemed a little ridiculous to me without knowing all the facts, right?
Yeah. And I got to get to the magic question about, you know, who is starting, which we'll get to in a second. Brad in Pennsylvania, welcome. You're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. And Howard, I agree with you. That opening makes me laugh every time.
Right? I'm telling you, it's great. I love it. You don't like a Capaccio. I mean, that's... Okay, go ahead.
It's funny. It's definitely funny. But I have a couple things, actually. And I'll start off with the quarterback question. I'm one of the believers that, okay, they brought Anderson in to be a mentor. And I can understand that because he is a veteran. I look at the situation, and now he's possibly starting, and I'm thinking, there's a reason he was not signed by any other team. And I was hoping this week that they would bring in one of the younger guys, whether it was Landry or Lynch, and start preparing them for maybe even the New England game. Because I just don't, and hopefully I'm wrong on this, I feel like Anderson just isn't going to cut it. Now, also, I have a question concerning the receiver core. Hooper is on the market for a first-round pick. At least that's what Chucky is saying from what I read on Twitter. I was wondering, if the Bills are bad, say we pick in the top five or six or seven, do you think we could get him for a second-round pick? And also, if we lose this week, lose to New England, do you think they'll start, I know this is a lot, do you think they'll start rotating in these younger guys that haven't played yet? The two that I'm most interested in is Bogard and Keller.
Now, we get these questions all the time about the O-line. Those guys are in practice every day. You know, the coaches get to see them, Brad. So if they feel that they're going to be an upgrade, they'll play. I mean, you know, they're not starting for a reason. So maybe at some point, if things start going south, and I'll say this, I think the offensive line's played a lot better the last few
Houston
weeks.
The Houston game, they were fine.
I don't have any problem with the offensive line in that last few weeks.
Yeah.
But those guys, sure, I'd like to see young guys play sometimes and see what they could do. The coaches aren't going to leave them on the bench if they could help them win.
Compared to what I thought would have happened against like Watt and Clowney and Merciless and those guys, I thought the offensive line is not why they lost the game on Sunday. The offensive line was fine.
That's right. So
Amari Cooper?
I don't know. I mean, is there's something going on there with, you know, I don't know what about his character. I do know his salary is over 13 next year. I mean, is that something you want to invest in? I don't really know. There's a lot there, and if they really want a first round pick, that's not happening.
Because right now,
it's an immediate no.
There was somebody at NFL.com did a draft order update. Right now, I think the Bills are picking sixth. I doubt they would give up the sixth overall pick
for Amari Cooper. No, that's not happening.
They'd want to save that for whatever, whether they use it, trade down, whatever.
I mean, on top of the fact that contract, sixth overall, if that was where you picked, would pretty much for 4 years add up to what you'd pay him for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing that. Let's get to the quarterback because I know we need to. And here's the thing. Like, I don't know what Sean McDermott's going to say today. I wonder, though, the way I'll look at it is if he doesn't name Nathan Peterman or Derek Anderson right away, is it because he's waiting to see for the next few days how Derek Anderson handles a playbook?
Okay.
Hey, maybe he just wants to wait. Maybe he wants Anderson to be the starter if he can demonstrate a full grasp of the playbook over the next couple of days.
Sure.
But there is another element here that I don't think we've discussed. Where is he physically? We keep talking about mentally, mm-hmm. right? I mean, playbook. Great. That's right. The guy was not playing football.
Right.
He wasn't in a camp. So where is he physically? I think that's part of it too. Like, you're just going to trot a guy out there. And he's a professional athlete for 14 years, and I'm sure he didn't just go off and start eating donuts and, you know.
That's my routine, not his probably. Right,
right. Right. I don't think that's the case, but he was on vacation with his family. He was not playing football. And suddenly you're going to say, hey, by the way, you're going to start an NFL game and play 60 snaps and might have to run away from a pass rush and take some hits. You got to wonder, you know, where he is physically. So maybe he's fine. But I do think that's got to be part of the element here. It's not just what he can handle with the playbook.
You made me think about this because honestly, I was thinking that McDermott by today would make a decision either way. So he can spend practice with one guy working with the ones these next 2 days. Like, I'm thinking, is it possible? Like, let's say he doesn't know. What does he do? Does he give Anderson the reps? And if it doesn't work, he turns to Peterman because he's been around. Does he split reps with the ones these next 2 days? I always thought he would make a decision so he can go in today's practice and know who my starter is on
Sunday. He might need to do that. Look, I mean, they started talking about this on the airplane on the way home, I'm sure,
yeah.
right? Then you get to Monday and you get back to the facility, you start talking about it. With all the collective people talking about it, and that includes everybody on staff, I'm sure they kept ownership in the loop, you know, mm-hmm. but with everybody talking about it, the medical staff especially, physically, where is he? And then Brian Daboll, offensive-wise, handle on it, where is Derek Anderson? And then Sean McDermott weighing, can I put Nathan Peterman out there? And all mm-hmm. that goes along with that element to it. You would think maybe here we are 72 hours later, 48 hours later, what are we, Sunday, Monday, right?
72.
Thank you. Yeah. 3 days later, not quite because the game isn't over, but not 4 o'clock, you know what I mean.
Yep.
I would think that they would have a handle on who they think they should put in.
Yeah.
So maybe we get that. They might know, but we don't find out because of competitive reasons as well. Like, hey, we're not going to tell you right
today.
Now.
Right. Yeah.
I follow a lot of writers every week. I try to follow the other team's writers. And when I put in all the Colts guys this week and women that I'm following, there was somebody who tweeted yesterday from the Colts beat. They said, it sounds like Sean McDermott's going with Derek Anderson. And I'm like, based on what? Like, he hasn't said anything about that. So they don't know over there either. And maybe that's something that...
It's funny. I would have...
You want to keep them guessing. I don't know.
If you... We always try and read into comments from people in our business, right? It's part of our job. Read into what the coach, the player, the GM, whatever said. Listening to McDermott Monday, Sal, if you ask, when he was pretty much challenged. He's like, hey... If you start Peterman, how do you justify that, starting this kid again? And his answer was essentially, I have to do what is in the best interest of the football team. For me, I hear you tell me, what did you think? Because I hear that, and I think that's how you set people up to announce you're starting Nathan Peterman. Like, you know, because if he announces Peterman's a starter, all hell will break loose. Everybody will wonder, what are you doing? Why are you putting this kid out there? And he would look at it and say, honestly, you and I just talked about this in the break. If he starts Peterman, I'm going to tell you, I would think it's based more so on Anderson isn't ready than his belief in Nathan Peterman, the old blind faith thing.
I agree with that.
I think he would start Anderson if he thinks this guy is ready to play. If not, well, I'm just going to go with Nathan, and we'll do everything in our power to help him be in a position to succeed.
I don't
Sunday.
Disagree with that. Although I do think that there's still faith in Nathan Peterman in that organization, even though I know you but would I, say that's... I'm not saying that...
He wouldn't take it and say, you know what? Right. Screw the public. I'm starting Peterman to prove that I'm right. I just don't think he would be that bullheaded.
I do think it's
I
more
hope
about...
Not, anyway.
I think it's more about where Derek Anderson is. I mean, let's put it this way. If both were healthy and had been here for the last 3-4 weeks, who do you think...
Oh, it's Anderson.
I think it's Anderson,
no
right?
No question about it.
So I do... So to your point, I think you're right. Yeah. That's what you have to weigh.
Yeah.
Is Derek Anderson physically ready to actually play a football game against real NFL pass rushers after not even being around and in a camp and getting all the training and exercise and whatever that goes along with that? And can he handle the playbook?
Out there? Right, right.
Those two things both have to be accounted for.
803-0550 to join us. McDermott will speak to the media about 11:20 this morning, right, Sal? And you'll be down there for that. So make sure you follow Sal on Twitter, if you don't already, at Sal Sports, for the latest from Sean McDermott later this morning on the quarterback situation. Phil, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead. Phil, you there?
Howard?
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, quick question. Where's the owner's responsibility in all of this? McDermott and Bean have always talked about, they talk to him every single day. He's involved in all the decisions. And this guy obviously subscribed to an erratic college quarterback and Nathan Peterman as the two quarterbacks on the roster. I don't know where his responsibility lies in this. And why didn't he bring in Colin Kaepernick, who's actually, a young enough quarterback that he'd have a difference on this team?
What do you want him to do? I mean, I don't. What do you mean by where's his responsibility, Phil?
He puts his faith in the guys who he trusts to run his football department.
I just actually had this entire very, very long conversation on Twitter, very nicely, by the way, with some people about this yesterday. Owners should not be making personnel decisions. They hire people to do that. Sometimes those people make right decisions. Sometimes those people make wrong decisions. So when you say, where is his responsibility, Phil, my simple question to you is, well, what do you mean by that? What do you want him to do?
You want him to make the quarterback decision is where you're going, right?
Well basically, if just hypothetically, if you're the owner of this franchise, Howard, and Sal, would you say that's a good idea, having an erratic college
quarterback? No, that's not the question. The question is, should I be telling my head coach who to play?
Your question is, I would tend to agree with Sal. If you, this is why you have scouts, this to your point about Josh Allen, basically, Phil, what you're saying is, why didn't Terry Pegula say, you can't draft this kid? Have you seen him at Wyoming? He's not good. Right? That's what you're getting to.
No, I have no problem drafting him.
Oh, then I don't know what you're
getting to. No, he's asking about starting Nathan Peterman and playing Nathan Peterman.
I know, but he brought up the erratic quarterback from Wyoming. That's why I thought he was wondering. Anyway, the owner can have an opinion, but he trusts his personnel people. He trusts his head coach. He trusts his GM. He could go to them and say, guys, I really think it's a bad idea to start Peterman, but he's going to trust what these guys are doing, and if it comes to the point where he doesn't, I suppose you could
fire an example, Phil. Phil, I'll give you an example, okay? When Tyrod Taylor was benched, both Terry and Kim Pegula were in those discussions. They were left in the loop. They had meetings with, the head coach and the GM, and they discussed every bit of it. But at the end of the day, because they hired these people to run their organization and because they're not breaking down film and they're not scouting players, at the end of the day, they give the trust in the head coach and the GM to make the decision they feel is best. Now, you may think that that's, maybe that works out poorly and that decision did it that day. Maybe that's the case, but that's how I think a team should be run. They should not be telling him, you can't do that, because when does that stop? When does that stop?
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Would you have done that?
I don't know what you mean.
What did you say? Would what?
Would you have just kept those two quarterbacks on the roster?
Me? No.
No, I think we've talked about this a lot. I mean, I think that you go back to, how this all started anyway. But
you would have wanted a better veteran option, yeah.
Right, so anyway, I mean, that's just to break it down in a nutshell. And
I think the owner could do that, too. I mean, Terry Pegula might have turned to these guys when they traded AJ McCarron and said, really? Like, are you sure we're going with Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman as our only two quarterbacks? Is that a good idea? And if they, for whatever reason, if they say, yeah, this is what we think we should do, then either you have two options. You either trust the guys you've hired, or if you strongly disagree, then you find somebody else to do those jobs. And I think he still trusts the guys he's hired.
Nate says, not our Nate. This doesn't apply to Jerry Jones. Yes, he's a total
a different
outlier.
Owner.
He's a different owner. He also has no GM. He's the GM. He makes he makes it known, I'm picking the players.
Right.
I'm making the decisions. If you wanted to do that, then don't have a GM.
Look, different organizations. Look at the Raiders.
By the way, the Cowboys haven't been very good either.
The Raiders have a GM in place. And the new head coach is now moving guys off the roster that that GM drafted and had a 12-win team 2 years ago. There's like a dozen draft picks from Reggie McKenzie that have been shipped out since John Gruden took over as head coach. So in Oakland, Mark Davis says, I'm going to give you all this power even though I have a GM. Different organizations operate differently. I know we got to get to the break, but at this point, you can disagree with this, but Terry and Kim Pegula have faith in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, and are going to trust what those guys are doing with their football decisions.
Every time this type of conversation comes up, it pretty much is cherry picking from people. They say, well, why didn't the owner step in when something didn't go right? But then as soon as you hear maybe an owner liked somebody, why are you letting owners do something?
Yeah.
Like if it's somebody that they may have liked that, you know, you shouldn't have drafted or right. something like that. Right, I mean, it happens all the time. You can't just cherry pick like that. That's not the way to run an organization.
If you're on hold, hang on. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Sal with us as we talk Bills football with you this morning here on WGR. Let's get you another code word in our win cash contest. It is GLOW. G-L-O-W. I always thought that was Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, but what do I know? GLOW. 72881, text it right now. Your chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 9 o'clock. GLOW, 72881. We'll have another code word at 925. Four more this afternoon with Shope and the Bulldog. Lots of opportunities for you to win $1,000 in the National Win Cash Contest from WGR.
Nathan Peterman is, you know, totally unproven. I think to trade your only slightly proven guy was a mistake. And you know, clearly, I think if you look at this situation logically, you would say that it's absolute lunacy.
That is Peter King from NBC Sports on One Bills Live. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. More Bills talk coming up in a moment. The Sabres lost game two on the five-game Western swing last night. Not a really good performance at all, quite honestly. They stunk in the first period, were a little bit better in the second and third, and ended up losing 3-1. Vladimir Sobotka with the only goal, a little over a half minute left. The Sabres went 0-6 on the power play. Zach Bogosian returned to the lineup last night, played in his first game of the season. Buffalo now 3-3 overall. The Western swing continues tomorrow night against the Sharks in San Jose. The Bills, Sean McDermott, will meet with the media this morning at 11:20. We'll see if he confirms multiple reports yesterday that the injury to Josh Allen is a sprained elbow and won't require surgery. Reportedly, he would miss two or three games and then be on a week-to-week basis after that. Again, McDermott speaking at 11:20. Maybe he'll announce the starting quarterback. We shall see. Sal will be there and be covering it for us. The Falcons have put running back Devontae Freeman on injured reserve. Opening night in the NBA last night. Couple games. Warriors beat Oklahoma City. They raised the banner. They got their beautiful championship rings. And then Curry put in 32. Boston beat Philly. Baseball playoffs. The Dodgers won in 13 over Milwaukee 2-1. That series is tied at 2. Game 5 later today at 5 o'clock. Boston beat Houston 8-2. The Red Sox go up 2-1 in Game 4 in that series tonight at 8:30. Nick Bosa leaving Ohio State early. Will prepare himself for the 2019 NFL draft, where he might end up being the number one pick overall. Those are your headlines. Next update, 9 o'clock. Sal's here.
If that was your son, would that be the advice you give him?
Yeah.
Me too.
It's a business decision.
Me too,
man.
Totally.
I mean, I get,
you got to be there for your team. I'm that guy. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, skipping the bowl game, I think
this is different than
this is totally
skipping the
different.
Bowl game.
He's hurt.
Yeah.
And coming back could really cost him his future.
I didn't like when McCaffrey decided to skip the bowl game.
Right.
But this is different. For one, at the very least, for me, with McCaffrey and Fournette, I think skipped his bowl game too. You got through the bowl game. They weren't playing for the national title,
right?
It's the Joe's Shaving Club for Men bowl game. You know, if he's the top pick in the draft, I went back and checked out the contract Mayfield got last year. You know, there's a rookie cap, there's slotting and stuff.
Yep.
Mayfield ends up getting $32 million, 4 years. His signing bonus was $21 million to be in the number one overall slot. Now, Bosa might go there. You know, if he comes back
certainly
and he
five.
Re-injures himself.
Yeah.
Okay, is he going on someone's, you know, is he getting red flagged or some team's going to put him on the, you know, he's got multiple injuries now. So, yeah, I don't like it. If I was an Ohio State fan, I might even be angry at him. But it's a business decision. He went to Ohio State to do what? To go to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got That's a right. chance to go to the NFL and lots of money on the table. If he gets injured again, I kept thinking of the kid from Notre Dame,
Jalen Smith.
Smith. got injured. It was a bad injury, and he ends up going in the third round, I think.
He's playing pretty well now, too.
But he dropped.
Yeah, he did.
Cost him a lot of money.
And then that was more of a situation where he just happened to get hurt in a bowl game.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, why did he play in the bowl game?
Right,
but then you see what's happening, you know. But anyway, I don't have a problem with what Nick Bosa is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather him play.
I do not.
I'd rather him play. I mean, you committed to Ohio State, you should play. But, you know, whatever. You got coaches that have contracts are getting buyout clauses when they're wooed by other schools to give them more money. So it didn't bother me that much. And quite honestly, you know, my son's a Michigan State alum, so if it hurts Ohio State, great. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550. You like that?
I heard that.
No, I just
registered
that in
what
really
you just
fast.
Said. Yeah.
888-550-2550. Jim and OP, you're on with Sal here on WGR.
Hey, this is not like an all-out defense of Nate Peterman, like he's our guy kind of thing. However, who is the second last team that guy had to prep for to be a starter in the NFL? It was the Colts, right? So this is the danger in what's going to happen probably. Let's say Nate does start. He's already shown he can kind of play against the Colts, although it was the snow game. I get it. But what about that crazy dangerous scenario about him winning, right? I don't think anyone thinks Nate starts it's a definitely loss. I mean, I haven't really heard that. It's just like, my God, we can't start him. I think he can win, and it's about the defense. And then what about the most just horrific concept of him beating the Patriots on Monday night?
Okay, that's not going to happen. But here's the problem with Indianapolis. Could he win? Yeah. But the bigger concern is, does he lose you the game?
Right, but what about beating the Colts?
Who cares? It was last year, and he didn't finish the game.
I do think there's an element. I don't want to totally dismiss what you're saying in one sense, Jim, which is he does have a body of work that he prepared for this team, but that is a totally new coaching staff. I'd have to go back and look at their defense. You have to remember they hired Frank Reich. Now their defensive coordinator is Matt Eberflus. So I don't really know. So I don't think they play the same defense.
Yeah, it doesn't factor in for me that he would have played. What, a half? I don't remember when he got hurt in that game. It doesn't factor into me to trying to figure out. You're in week, what week are we in, Sal? 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you're in week 7 of 2019. You're sitting there right now if you're Sean McDermott. In McDermott's defense, if he does play Peterman, what Sean McDermott has to do right now is figure out who is the best guy to play at quarterback in terms of who gives me the best chance to come out and beat the Colts on Sunday. I've got a really good defense. Maybe I've got a day where I think I can run the football against the Colts. All you have to do is, who gives me the best shot to win this game? Me personally, I would be worried about Peterman losing me the game. Not can he win it. Sure, he can win it. The Colts, you know, they've been giving up a lot of points, a lot of yards. They just gave up 42 points to a rookie quarterback. Okay, Sam Darnold. But the concern is, does he come out and throw multiple picks and lose you the game? That, to me, would be the biggest concern with playing Nathan Peterman. It's the reverse angle. And, you know, I guess maybe whether you look at the world, you know, glass half empty, glass half full, I'd worry about him losing the game. And if Brian Daboll has to coach the offense to not let the quarterback lose the football game for us on Sunday. That, to me, is the biggest concern.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call.
I think the limitations of your offense.
Now, look, the one
I think are how you have to look at it. What can you do and can't you do?
Sorry, I'll make this point, too. If you want to say, let's say they announce Peterman, okay? And if you want to look at, if you're trying to find positives or how you could look at this in a more favorable light, I will say this. They could have decided Monday, Sal, like you mentioned, they're probably talking about it on the plane trip on Sunday night. They're for sure talking about it on Monday when they're getting the game plan ready and they're formulating Monday and Tuesday what to do against the Colts. I think by then they would have made their mind up. They would have a whole week to get the kid ready to play Sunday. You know, going into the game, hey, it's Peterman. As opposed to, you have your game plan for Houston, it's Josh Allen. Uh-oh, he got hurt. Throw Peterman in there. Yikes. You would know. And if you're Brian Daboll, you can tailor your plans this week to, okay, we're going with Nathan on Sunday. How do we make it work?
What was the caller's name that we just had on? Do you remember? Caller?
Jim?
Jim? Yeah. I do want to make sure that I address Jim here. Jim, it's a totally new defense. They ran a 3-4 last year. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
I thought that was the case. They ran a 3-4 last year. They ran a 4-3 this year. They might have some of the same players. Totally new scheme. So even as much as you could say, yeah, you know, he saw this team last year. He didn't. He saw a totally different team, maybe some of the same personnel, and they were playing in a complete blizzard condition. But he did prepare all week for that. The other thing is, I will say, the one thing I'm not at all ever concerned about with Nathan Peterman, he has physical limitations. There's no doubt that he has shown that he has propensity to throw the ball to the other team, and that is scary, and you shouldn't be putting him on the field in that case. He will prepare, and he will work hard, and he will be ready to know, you know, the defense he's facing. The problem is, once he gets out there and the real bullets start flying, then things start to change. Monday through Saturday, I'm not worried about Nathan Peterman. He said, Howard, his soundbite, what he said when I asked him, did they do something on the last play, on the pick six that, you know, you didn't, you know, see? And he said he thought pressure was coming from one way, but it came from the other, and he went that way and through the pick six. That's what bothers you. It's not Monday through Saturday.
Yep.
There's no doubt Nathan Peterman will prepare his butt off and he will be ready to go. But once everything happens on Sunday and the game starts flying at a real speed, I think that's when things start to unravel for him, and at least have so far in his career.
I was looking at the transcript from Monday, Sal, because I wanted to bring up something. Remind me to ask you, if we don't get to it till 9 o'clock, about Nathan Peterman and mental toughness and handling adversity. Brian Daboll was asked, this is from the Monday transcript. You mentioned Nate's work ethic there. What a hard worker he is. This is what triggered it, your point you just made about his prep. Is there a point as a coach where hard work isn't enough if the results don't follow? If there is a point, where is it with Nathan? And that's why you made me think about this, because he can prepare. He can do all the work. But if you don't have the skill set to execute the game plan, all the preparation in the world, while it's nice, doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good, because you're paid to win football games, and if you don't, you get fired. And in his answer, he said something about, I've been around a lot of young guys that have developed. Maybe they weren't where they needed to be, whether it was 1 year, 2 years, two starts, five starts, 16 starts. As long as you have the right mindset in terms of improving and going out there and getting better every day and have a skill set, then you want to work with the player. And the part about the skill set was the part that stood out to me. He can be a great student of the game. He can be in early. He can stay late. He can watch all the film. He can know the playbook front to back. But you have to have the ability on the playing field to execute those plays. And clearly that's where there are limitations in his game. And that's the problem with Nathan Peterman. It's not personal. It's just you can only do so much with him.
And I think what's the fly in the ointment is here, he had demonstrated throughout, I know, preseason, take the preseason pledge.
Right.
But he demonstrated in preseason games, in camp, that wasn't a problem for him.
Right.
And then when he got into an actual game, it has been
different.
A problem.
Right.
So I think that's the quandary you're caught in. You're like, but none of this showed up in practice.
Right.
You know, I mean, how do you figure it out? But it has shown up in games. It has. And that's where you lie.
Sal is here. He's sticking around till 9:30, 803-0550. You can join us. Your thoughts on the Sabres last night, the Bills discussion. We're going to check in with a little hockey when we get back. Chris Taylor's going to join us from the Amherst. We'll see who's off to a good start down in Rochester. That's coming up in a moment on WGR.
Right side comes Olofsson to the red line, across the blue line, 1-on-3, sneaks through, takes a shot, scores! Olofsson through the slot, picks the lower left corner by the right skate of Jersey Smith, and the Amherst have come back again and another victory.
Legendary Amherst play-by-play man Don Stevens on the call. Victor Olofsson, AHL Player of the Week. That's one of the things we're going to talk about with Chris Taylor. Howard, Sal in. Brayton's here, 803-0550, the Sabres game last night, the quarterback discussion, the latest on the Bills. We've been discussing all of it. Lines are always open for you to bring in an opinion, join the discussion, bring in a question. But we will talk a little hockey and see what's going on down on the farm. We are joined on the West Her Hotline by Rochester Americans head coach Chris Taylor. Chris, it's Howard and Sal and Brayton. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, hanging in there. You know, if you can play quarterback, let me know, and we'll send you a contract.
I definitely can't.
Okay, because it is one Buffalo. So I'm just saying, if you can, you might want to call the Pagulas. But your guys, you know, a slow start, but things have kind of turned around since then. So, you know, after that first couple games, what kind of improvements are you seeing in your club at this point?
Well, you know, obviously, you want to get off to a start that you know win games, but I wouldn't call it a slow start. I'd call it a slow start in wins, but not a slow start in, you know, our development. And you learn a lot, and I thought we'd had some good moments in those games. But the last three, obviously, we picked it up. You know, they could have went either way, especially the first game. Our goaltender kept us in it for the first 7 minutes, so all of a sudden it's like we could have been 0-3. So we just had some lack of good moments in the first two games. But the last three games, I think everybody's kind of stepped up in different ways at different times for us to make us successful.
Chris, you know, with the way that you guys have played over the past few games, has it been more about trying to stick to basics and knowing how you guys can play the game? Because, I mean, the first couple of games, it looked like you guys maybe tried to do a little too much, which got you into a little bit of trouble. But the past three games, it seems like you guys have really, you know, solidified things and have been able to play your game to your full capacity.
Yeah, we were trying to do too many things, and I thought our D and our forwards were jumping at the wrong times and, you know, just being a little anxious, trying to do too much. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and just let everybody do their own job. And when everybody does their own job, usually it works out a lot better. And I thought we did that a lot better, especially on the road. I still really didn't like our Syracuse game. It was better. But I really liked our games on the road in Bridgeport. And I thought we did all the right things at the right times.
A lot of people here in Buffalo have been hearing about Victor Olofsson's play, and of course he was named the AHL Player of the Week for this past week. But how do you feel that his transition has gone from, you know, spending time last year and throughout his early career in Sweden, but how do you feel the first five games have gone for him here in Rochester?
Obviously, you know, he's putting some points on the boards, and, you know, the power plays on the power play, and the 3-on-3 goal. So he's getting put in some situations. That's good for him. And, you know, it's he's still got a long ways to go, though. Like, there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of teaching. You know, everybody just gets thrilled with all the points and the goals and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of different aspects that go into the game. And he knows he's going to work on it. And we're gonna keep getting him better and getting him prepared to, you know, hopefully play in the NHL. And, again, he's an exciting player. He can do a lot of good things, and you know, he's got a great shot. So we're trying to, you know, put him in situations that he's going to have success in.
And on Saturday and Sunday in Bridgeport, he let go of a couple of beautiful shots. Both of them were game winners, and a lot of people have talked about and raved about his shot. I mean, what do you feel about his shot, and do you kind of agree with a lot of other people's sentiment that maybe he's got one of the best shots that's around in hockey as of right now?
Well, he's got a great shot. His release is so good. You don't know when he's going to shoot it. That's the biggest thing right there. But when it comes off a stick, it's really hard and accurate. And you know, he's just got a great release. It's hard to teach that. And you know, if we put everything else together with him, he's a great asset for the organization. And again, I don't know. He's got the best one around or whatever, but I know that he does get him off and he does get him through, and that's the hardest thing right there. Is just doesn't matter what type of shot you have, can you get it through, and are you accurate?
We're with Chris Taylor, Amherst coach, with us on the Wester Hotline. As Brayton said, Chris, you know, there are a lot of young guys that Sabre fans are anxious to hear about. Certainly one of them is Alex Nylander, who, by all accounts, had a really good camp and did everything he could to try and earn the spot here. How would you characterize his first couple weeks of the season?
He's been really good. And, you know, for Alex, he's one of those players that, you know, he's still young. Like, you're talking about Olsen. He's a year or 2 years older than Alex and, you know, all these guys. And so Alex is he's doing a great job. He's really hunting pucks down. He's doing a good job on the penalty killing. He's learning every aspect of the game that he needs to and to get better. And he's working hard in practice. And, you know, I just see a huge mature growth in Alex.
I wanted to follow up on that because I remember in the preseason at camp, at some point, Chris, you had mentioned you see a different Alex Nylander. I think one of the things maybe was, you know, I think you said something about when drills begin, he goes to the front of the line. And people were talking about how he's showing more battle for pucks, you know, and it just seems, is that just something that just comes with age?
Well, I think he just feels more comfortable. I think he feels they belongs. And sometimes when you're younger, you sometimes you don't feel like you belong, and sometimes, like last year, he was hurt a lot, and he came in halfway during the season. He wasn't around the guys that much because he's doing rehab. You know, it's just a tough situation, and, you know, I think he just started off on the right foot this year, worked hard in the summer, and, you know, became more involved in development camp and in prospect camp, and, you know, I think just his leadership, he just started taking on a leadership role, and, you know, just that's with his play on the ice, and that, that always rolls over into the dressing room. So I think he's got a lot more confidence, and he's earning everybody's trust and respect in the room.
Chris, I know we're only five games into the season, but with the roster that you guys have entering the season, there's a lot of, you know, veteran leadership that's coming back. There's, you know, there's a lot of guys that have been in the organization for a few years, but then there's a lot of guys that have little to no experience playing professional hockey in North America or you know, in the AHL, and that are here and finally getting together. How do you feel that your roster has come together just in this short amount of time, and how do you, you know, see your group moving forward?
Well, it's tough to, you know, try and get everybody in the lineup. That's the hard part. The hard part is trying to, you want to develop, you want to play your older guys to help develop these guys, but there's only so much room in 20, you know, dressing 20 guys, and you got to make a lot of hard decisions. And right now we've had to make a lot of hard decisions on different people and at different times. This season's only five games in, but, and that's a good problem to have, though. That means that your organization's starting to get deeper and deeper, and you know, and it's putting internal pressure on each other, and it's making you compete a lot harder. It's not, hey, well, I got to play. Who else are they going to play? And, you know, now it's making them practice, you know, the way they should be practicing, and getting ready for games, and you can't take a shift off, and because, you know, someone else is right behind you. And that's what we want is internally we want to keep pressure on guys and keep getting better.
Last thing I want to ask you, Coach, is a couple of players on your blue line and how they're looking so far. Brendan Gooley, obviously, he's playing his second full season with your club here. I just want to get an update on how you feel that he's been looking so far early in the season. And then also Lawrence Pilot, who is a guy that comes over from Sweden, another young player, just learning the North American game, but he's so far gotten off to an early jump. Just wanted to get your thoughts on those guys.
Yeah, Brendan's in his second year. I think he's 21. He's young, and again, he's had some experience up in the NHL, and he's got a taste of it and what he needs to do and what he needs to work on to when he goes up there to stick up there. And he had a good camp, and you know, he's just working on all of his fundamentals down here, and he's getting better and better every game. And we're trying to put him in a lot of different situations that you know, I'll challenge him, and he's a great skater. He's got a great shot. Can he work on some things? Absolutely, and that's why he's here, and that's what we're doing. And you know, not even just working on little things, working on, you know, leadership role, because it's his second year. We want him to get in that leadership role, have a more active role in that, have a more active role in, you know, on the bench and being vocal and all that kind of. All that's part of development, and he's doing a great job. And then there's Lawrence. He's done a great job coming over here. He's a little bit older. I think he's 22 or 23. I know it's his first year, but that's what I mean. It's like we talk about Alex and Brendan. Like, these guys are 20, 21, and these guys that have come over, but we think they're young. They are still a little bit older than the guy like Alex, especially. But they've done a great job coming over here. And Lawrence is one of those guys that, you know, he's got great body position. He, you know, shoots a puck, he can get pucks through at all times. He plays power play, penalty kill, he plays big minutes. He's not afraid. I just love his compete for me. He just loves to win, loves to being out there, and just loves the game. And, you know, those are the guys that you just want to keep coaching, because they're enjoyable coming every day to the practice, to the games. They just love the game, and they want to get better and better, and they want to know more knowledge about it. And you watch them during, you know, before practice. They're all watching the NHL Network, and that's where they want to be. And that's exciting to me.
Well, thanks for the update, Chris. We're glad things are going well in Rochester. We'll be checking in, of course, over the course of the season. And good luck the rest of the season with the Amerks.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Chris Taylor, Amerks coach, on our West Her Hotline. We'll get a break in. Sal is sticking around for one more segment. When we get back, going to talk to Sal about Nathan Peterman's mental toughness, Zay Jones, and just how good this defense has looked the last four games. That is on the way in a moment on WGR Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.